From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. Most property assessments in Juneau did not change much from this year to last, according to preliminary data recently shared by the city. Both residential and commercial property assessments rose by less than 2% on average. City Finance Director Angie Flick says that reflects a cooling housing market.
Homes are staying on the market longer. We still have a housing crisis in Juneau. That's not to say that that's no longer an issue, but the market seems to have cooled substantially compared to last year, a couple years before that.
Last year, the residential assessed property value increased by an average of about 16%, and some residents reported a more than 40% increase. Commercial property assessments rose by about 6%. City assessors rely on retail sales data to make their assessments, but that data has become harder to get. Alaska is one of only several states that doesn't require disclosure of real estate sale prices. In 2020, the Juneau Assembly mandated disclosure, but that was repealed by voters in 2022. Flick says that change has made it more difficult for Juneau's assessors to do their job.
Our assessor's office is working to an end without full data. And so they use the data that they have, and they use the tools and the processes in the trade. They follow all of the standards. Certainly having full information would create better results.
Though property assessment notices were recently shared with residents, property tax bills won't be released until June. Property taxes are calculated by multiplying a property's assessed value by the city's mill rate. The assembly will decide on a mill rate this spring. The deadline to file a petition for an assessment to the city is April 1st. More information can be found on the city's website. High school seniors are waiting longer than usual to get financial aid offers from colleges this year. That's after a bungled rollout of the new Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA. And Alaska has the nation's lowest percentage of high school seniors who've submitted the FAFSA so far. The FAFSA usually opens on October 1st. But this year, the new form didn't open until the end of December, and the launch was plagued with problems. Now, colleges are still waiting to get FAFSA data from the federal government, which means prospective students are waiting too.
Probably in April is when we'll be able to have all the information to give students a good idea of what they'll be eligible for.
That's Jennifer Schweitzer, the Associate Director of Financial Aid at the University of Alaska Southeast. She was at Juneau Douglas High School Yada'at Kahle on a recent Saturday to talk to students and parents about the new FAFSA. Jessica Dean, a college advisor at the high school, helped organize the event.
Typically, everyone kind of knows where they're going by May 1st, but this year, we'll see.
Emily Herman was one of the parents who stopped by that afternoon. She says the FAFSA process is dragging out an already stressful time for her daughter.
It's a huge piece to the puzzle, and with it coming in last, it really is going to be, for our family, the determining factor of where she goes.
Herman and her daughter submitted the FAFSA weeks ago, but a lot of Alaska's high school seniors haven't. So far this year, less than 13% of them have submitted a FAFSA. That's the lowest of all 50 states. Alaska's submission rate tends to be one of the lowest in the country. Sana Eford, executive director of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, wants to change that. She says the FAFSA might be a student's first step in realizing that college or other training after high school could be affordable after all.
The number one reason we hear for not pursuing a post-secondary program is the cost. And so that's why the FAFSA is so important.
More than $6 million in Pell Grant money went unclaimed by Alaska high school seniors in 2022. Eford says many students and families just don't fill the FAFSA out.
People perceive this, the FAFSA, as a very complicated, time-consuming form that they have to fill out.
Eford says there are also misconceptions about how much financial information you have to provide.
The federal government already has all the income and tax information, so it's not new information that you haven't provided to them.
High school seniors in Alaska might also see other jobs, like construction or commercial fishing, as more lucrative or accessible than college right after high school. Bill DeBond directs data and strategic initiatives at the National College Attainment Network.
students with parents who went to college are themselves more likely to go to college, right? You have a lot of first-generation students in Alaska whose families either have not needed to attend college professionally or who have not had the opportunity to do so, right? Or both, really.
Universities are doing what they can to help this year's seniors, including delaying their decision deadlines. That's been good news for Kira Wood, one of Dean's students.
Like, honestly, I've gotten an email from every college that I've applied to that they're pushing it back or they're accepting it for a longer date, which is good. I'm glad I wouldn't have to be at the mercy of a system that's going slow to try to get in and get financial aid.
In the meantime, he's applying to other scholarships that aren't tied to the FAFSA process. Students and families can find free online resources, including how-to videos for filling out the FAFSA, on the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education's website. There's also one-on-one support available for students and families by phone, email, or Zoom. A regional land trust is threatening legal action after they say the National Park Service extended part of Sitka's Seawalk into a protected area. As KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, the Southeast Alaska Land Trust says the waterfront walkway could spell trouble for the beach ecosystem below once the summer visitor season begins.
Margaret Custer was surprised when she learned last September that the National Park Service was preparing to build a seawalk between Lincoln Street and the tidelands of Crescent Bay because, she says, it's not their land.
That was a real surprise, and we immediately sought to address the issue.
Custer is the executive director of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. She says the seawalk encroaches onto a city-owned conservation easement, stewarded by the land trust since 2010. Under the terms of the easement, any proposed development has to be approved by the land trust to make sure it aligns with their conservation goals. Custer says this time, the land trust wasn't notified or involved in any of the planning. Mary Miller, the superintendent of Sitka National Historical Park, says the new segment doesn't fall within the easement.
We built the seawalk on parkland.
The boundary line in the official record is defined by a 2012 survey. That's the document Custer is referencing. Miller says that in 2015, the Bureau of Land Management redefined that boundary based on improvements to technology and changes to the high tide line.
And that is the marker for park property and whatever is on the other side of the mean high tide line.
In a November 2023 letter to the National Park Service, an attorney representing the land trust rejected that analysis. Custer says there's a legal process to change a boundary line, and that hasn't happened.
We've told the Park Service on multiple occasions that their 2015 survey, which we just found out about, has not, in fact, changed the boundary line. A survey in itself does not adjudicate a boundary line.
It's an unlikely conflict between two organizations that both want to expand access to nature. Miller says she helped secure the conservation easement back in 2010, and Custer says she supports a seawalk that allows people to enjoy the waterfront. But in this case, Custer says the new structure is likely to have unintended impacts. She's referring to the beds of glistening eelgrass further down the beach that are exposed at low tides. Eelgrass species are protected, and they're important both as habitat for wildlife like herring and because they sequester carbon. Custer says the structure of the seawalk, which includes stairways to direct pedestrians onto the beach, puts those eelgrass beds at risk.
And the land trust is concerned that an increased amount of tourist foot traffic from the seawalk onto the intertidal area, particularly during tourist season, poses a threat to the eelgrass beds and the wildlife that are reliant on those eelgrass beds.
Custer says the land trust has already found patches of trampled eelgrass during the summer season, usually after large groups of cruise ship passengers visit the beach. With Sitka's summer tourist traffic reaching record levels over the past 2 years, Custer says she understands the need for seawalk improvements, but the stairs need to go. Miller says the Park Service is open to meeting with the Land Trust to resolve Custer's concerns. Custer says, though, that the National Park Service has not responded to any correspondence from the Land Trust or its lawyers since last November. She says that the Trust's standards and practices will require them to take legal action if they can't resolve the problem otherwise. The city and borough of Sitka declined to comment on the question of the land boundary, citing the possibility of imminent legal action. In the meantime, the new Seawalk is open to pedestrians. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.